The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right, we are headed for trouble, and it would be a dangerous place except for the fact that our wingman is David Trainer. He is the founder and president of New Constructs, a research firm that evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And so when you look at securities from the top down, you often see things that look good. But when David looks at them, he starts from the bottom up and he often finds out they're not so good.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is very possible. It happens all the time. It's misleading earnings, as David likes to say, or misleading economics and more. If you want to find out how it works, you go to newconstructs.com. You can follow them on Twitter at newconstructs, and they always blog about their danger zone picks, so you can get more information on anything you hear us say today. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Tesla.
Yeah, that's the car skid and crash.
Danger, danger.
That's the danger sign. Tesla, it's TSLA. This is a stock that, well, it's been the darling of Wall Street. It has done great. It's been a stock that you haven't liked for a while. So why do you not like it even more right now so that you're putting it back in the danger zone?
So what's new, right? We've been wrong about this thing. And you know, when people ask me about it in general, offline, and I've always said, you know, look, this has nothing to do with cars. It has to do with the fact that if Tesla can develop this battery technology, it transforms the grid, the power grid, right? All of a sudden now, solar panels are almost infinitely more useful, and all these other things that are related to cleaner natural or energy development are more useful. And, you know, I just don't think it's happening. And a big change here recently with respect to the CEO, Elon Musk's compensation, moving away from measurable operational goals toward stock price driven goals and other more subjective, more manipulable goals, raises a lot of red flags. It parallels what we saw at Valiant, at Enron, as they sort of made their final moves up, and those big moves up were right before some major falls down. Nothing leads us to believe at the same time that this battery technology promise is coming to fruition. I feel like the bait and switch thing, people are getting tired of it. It's like, oh, we didn't make our numbers, but guess what? We're sending a rocket to Mars. Or guess what? We've got a roadster. Or guess what? We've got a semi that can't do the things we say it does. I don't know. I don't, at some point, man, the air's going to come out of the balloon, and I've been terrible at predicting when it would happen. I just feel like, in good conscience, it's time to come back and warn investors again.
Okay. That all said, one of the things that's been in the news about Tesla lately has been the change in the compensation scheme for Elon Musk. And you are routinely very critical of executive pay. And I have heard a little bit that has said, this is a really great deal. I've heard one or two people saying it's a really bad deal. But nobody really going out there. So for you, I have to imagine you've looked at Musk's compensation and the new idea that they're going with that's waiting for shareholder approval.
It's a horrific idea, right? I mean, this is what generated on our team the whole reason to go back on Tesla, because we've talked about talking about riding on Tesla again. I'm like, no, it's just everybody knows we think it's ridiculous. But this the changes in the compensation plan or major red flag. And again, they mirror what we saw at Valiant, Enron, other sort of blow up stories, really as they were getting closer to the end. Right? When you take away focus on actual operational goals around how the business needs to improve, and it becomes more about stock price and other non-GAAP, highly manipulable metrics, I just say watch out, because that encourages the kind of behavior we saw at Enron and Valiant, which is do whatever it takes to pump up the short-term stock price and right off into the sunset with huge bonuses that you make in the short term while running the business into the ground. By the way, like Tesla is like burning like billions of dollars in cash every year. They've been running the business in the ground for a long time.
But I want to ask a question. I want to step in for a second and ask a question about that. Because as I looked at their targets, the targets weren't about stock price so much as they were about revenue and adjusted EBITDA. And you like to use EBITDA numbers all the time. So I'm curious, when you say, hey, it's about the stock price and it's getting it away from operations, am I reading something wrong here? Wouldn't the EBITDA numbers, and I'm not arguing with you, I'm just curious. I can understand why somebody else might have said this is good, but where's the disconnect that I'm missing? Because, like I said, I didn't see anything that said, oh, it's the stock price. I saw it done to revenue, which is a number that can be manipulated a little bit, and EBITDA.
What we're seeing is 12 escalating tranches of stock options based on hitting market cap, revenue, and adjusted EBITDA. So great question, Chuck, right?
But once you put market cap in there, that's what I overlooked in my thinking, because market cap is stock price.
And you're also there is a disconnect here on EBITDA. We do not look at EBITDA. We look at a farther downstream number that takes into account all operating expenses after tax. So our focus is typically what we call net operating profit after tax, or NOPAT, which is a number that's apples to apples across all companies. And then, because EBITDA is not a good number. Adjusted EBITDA is a horrific number, because guess what adjusted means? They take out of it whatever they want to make it look good. Right? That's the whole non-GAAP thing. So EBITDA is a bad business, especially for bad number, especially for businesses that require balance sheet investment. Wouldn't we all love to, you know, as I've said before, wouldn't we all love to be based on performance that excludes the major costs of generating our performance, right? They're investing in factories and new kinds of output and things like that, you know, and so I got another great point for you, right? Not only is Tesla not delivering on the technological advancements they've been promising for a long time, they rank dead last, for the autopilot or auto driving technology, dead last out of all 19 or 20 companies doing it, dead last. But let's just take the basic blocking and tackling meat and potatoes production. They haven't met a goal in production for a long time. They're behind. They're never meeting their quotas, their own goals that they set, right? So, you know, this is operationally is a disaster. Promotionally, it's amazing, right? The guy's got all kinds of charisma, and people love what he says about all kinds of things, and there's a roadster, and there's a semi, and he makes claims that he can't back up time and time again, and people just seem to overlook it. The fact of the matter is, I mean, there's a study by Navigant that looked at the 19 companies developing self-driving technology, and we've got the study in our report. Tesla ranked dead last. All right, GM, Ford, these guys, Volkswagen, BMW, way ahead of them. And the important for that, Chuck, is that the operational and manufacturing advantages by the incumbents are real, especially when you see the issues that Tesla is having meeting its production goals. And if it doesn't have some whiz-bang technology to suddenly transform this business from highly unprofitable to profitable, this is a disaster waiting to happen. Because guess what? GM, Ford, a lot of these companies, they make real money. They can fund R&D. They can build cars. They can build high-quality cars. They can meet production goals, all the things Tesla can't do. And right now, it does not appear that Tesla has any meaningful technological advantage anymore. In fact, they're ranking meaningfully far behind these far more successful incumbents when it comes to the autopilot technology.
Okay. Quickly, because we've gone over, like I said, you've been issuing the warning.
Warning, warning, warning.
About Tesla for a long time. But the stock has gone against you, as you've frankly admitted here. So what is a valuation that you think is reasonable on Tesla? I know you can't come up with a catalyst that's going to wind up moving it there. But when people are looking at this stock, which is significantly over $300 a share, what should they be thinking it's worth, which is why it's ultimately in the danger zone for you?
Right. The current stock price implies that their margins are going to skyrocket up to 8%, which is sort of between a mass market and a luxury car brand, and also grow revenues at 30% compounded annually for a decade. That's what you got to do to justify $335. Suddenly become extremely profitable, and then, which means you got to like charge, you know, 5 or 10 times as much for your cars, and then still grow at 30% compounded annually. That's what's baked in, right? That's why I'm saying the valuation implies like a magical technology is going to fix everything. If they get margins in the range of a GM and Ford, and they grow revenue by 25% compounded annually for a decade, $45.
Wow. Okay. $45. Yep. That's a crash. That's a crash. That's not, I mean, it might skid into the crash. But that is big trouble brewing for Tesla. That's why.
Danger, danger.
TSLA, Tesla is back in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president and founder of New Constructs. If you want to read more about any of their danger zone picks, or you want to learn about the most attractive and most dangerous lists, go to newconstructs.com. And don't forget to follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. We're heading for home on the Monday, January 29th edition of Money Life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.